intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
There, everybody. It's the PC Invasion Podcast back after a week. We took a week off because we just felt like it. Is that true, Tim? I don't know. No, well, this stuff's been going on at PC Invasion. Paul's been like sacking our advertisers and getting new advertisers, which involves changing everything on the site, apparently. And then he found that the Diablo 3 site had some antiquated code from a time when, I don't know, computers filled whole rooms or something. So we had to change that as well. Yeah, so, you know, busy time.
I mean, Paul claims this. But
it seems to be true. I mean, I don't actually know. I have no access to the back end of the Diablo 3 site, for example, so who knows?
Well, I mean, neither do I, but, I do wonder sometimes.
Do you reckon he's just making stuff up and then playing Paragon all day?
I mean, half the stuff he says, it sounds like something out of Star Trek to me. Yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I can't be on the podcast. Mm. I've got to defibrillate the hyper HTML on the website.
And I'm just like, yeah, all right.
It's like, okay, oh, okay, yeah. Okay, Paul. Yeah, right.
Because what are we going to say? What are we going to say? No, you're not doing that. I mean, we don't have a leg to stand on.
We
can't challenge that kind of tech speak. But yeah, anyway. Luckily, not much happened last week in the world of games, except a massive gambling YouTube scandal, of course. But
so quite a lot happened last week in the world of games.
Yeah. And then I was writing about that basically all of the start of that week. So I was pretty tied up and everything. Anyway.
Yeah, that was part of why we didn't do a podcast last week as well, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kept going like, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, and then, well, I'm reviewing Inside now. Anyway, sorry everyone if you missed the...
You still didn't tell me whether Inside has a giant spider.
I thought I did. I replied to you.
I don't think I...
All right, well, okay. To the best of my knowledge, the answer is no. It does not have a giant spider. I can't say I've explored every single part of Inside because I haven't got all the collectibles. So, you know, that caveat aside.
There's going to be one fucking collectible that drops a giant spider on you, isn't there?
I mean, I can't say that's not a thing because I don't know.
And it's going to be the only one I find.
the special Tim McDonald collectible.
Basically.
That's what the achievement is called. It's called, Tim, this one's for you. Enjoy. No, there's a lot of dogs in Inside. And I'm not a fan. I was going to say I'm not a fan of being savaged by dogs, but then I realised.
Oh, yeah! Little...
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad your devil's advocate role has come in handy there. It saved me from sounding extremely stupid. Yeah, a lot of dogs that chase you and gnaw at you, which is, that's quite distressing, obviously.
I find that significantly less harrowing than being chased by a giant spider.
I can understand that as an arachnophobe, yeah. Yep. I guess we should talk about Counter-Strike gambling.
Alright, explain this to me in 20 words.
20 words, okay.
Explain this to me in 2 sentences, then.
Valve appears to have allowed third-party gambling to thrive quite a lot. Some YouTubers have taken advantage of this and not disclosed ownership of one of these sites.
Okay, that was actually surprisingly
not bad,
succinct.
Eh?
Well done.
Not bad. I feel like I left a few details out through necessity, but all right, this goes back to June, actually. A guy in Connecticut filed a lawsuit against Valve. Guy called...
Hang on, there's a guy in Connecticut called June.
No. June the date. He was dating someone called June in Connecticut. Then he thought, I'll file a lawsuit against Valve. This guy's called Michael McLeod. He's not the Highlander.
That's a That's a good name.
That's a good name, isn't it? Yeah. His lawsuit, which I believe is a civil suit. I'm not a lawyer, folks. In one of the stories I wrote about this, I confused the words defendant and plaintiff at one point, so clearly I have...
You mad fool.
Clearly I have no legal training. But I think this is a civil suit. It alleges...
Well, if suits has taught me anything, it's that you don't actually need legal training to be an ace lawyer.
Good. That's very encouraging. Do you need it to write about legal stuff, though? Because I'm worried that I do.
Probably. Yeah. Because that, you know, that's actually got stuff in
writing. That's my problem, yeah. Anyway, this lawsuit alleged that Valve have encouraged and facilitated a thriving illegal third-party gambling scene pertaining to Counter-Strike Go. You probably know about these sites or have seen these sites due to what happened last week. They're the ones where they're not officially connected to Valve. You do often have to sign into your Steam account through them. And of course you are selling or gambling with Valve's skins, but they're not officially affiliated with Valve. There are sites where you can pop down some of your Counter-Strike Go skins and do like a... You can either do like a kind of coin toss, winner takes all thing, or there are some sites where you can like put skins on actual Counter-Strike esports matches and stuff. Does a Dota do this as well, Tim? Because Dota has items, right? Yeah, I did wonder if Dota was basically like, does Dota have third-party gambling shit as well, or
probably? I've never looked at it. I know that there was. I think some of this has been done over forums and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, where you can bet on matches and so on. I'm assuming there probably are third-party gambling sites. I've just never actually looked.
It would make sense because it's a similar system of virtual items, etc. And basically, people without a third-party site, they don't really have a way to cash out because the money is just in Steam Market Gabe books. So, you know, sure, you can sell or trade your skins, but all you're doing is getting more Steam money for Steam games, etc. But if you say were to buy 5,000 keys for Counter-Strike chests, you could maybe then sell them on, oh, I don't know, G2A or other such third-party sites. And if you had a valuable skin for a weapon or something, you could go and sell it on one of these third-party places for actual real money. It would be at your own risk, but again, it would be a way to cash out with real monies. And this all kind of exists on the fringes of what legally and semantically and technically constitutes gambling in the US, I think. 'Cause the US is pretty hard on online gambling.
Yes, it is. My brother used to work for PokerStars.
Oh, right.
Which is an online, theoretically or technically, you can call it gambling, but gambling also implies that it's related to chance, whereas high-level poker is very obviously a game of skill.
Yeah. I mean, that's the argument a lot of these places have made or tried to make with the US government, isn't it? I mean, the fantasy sports area, I know, got away with the skill clause, at least to an extent. I know DraftKings is in trouble for something at the moment, probably.
I mean, things like slot machines and roulette and so on are very obviously chance. Yep. Poker, on the other hand, is a game of skill, as long as you're not really terrible at it.
I mean,
but if you are, then it's still a game of skill. You're just bad at it.
I mean, part of this isn't even coming at it from... you know, gambling is bad, don't do it. Like, I don't personally do gambling, I don't really love it, but like, within a properly regulated system of like full odds transparency and all of this stuff, then fine, sure. I think the problem we have with the Counter-Strike stuff is it's kind of existing in this weird legal limbo where even though it calls itself gambling across the board, it isn't regulated as such, and I think that's just because the law hasn't really noticed it yet, which they might be now. You know, it's a real... my legal knowledge does not extend to being able to really say whether it technically constitutes gambling or not, and I think court cases will need to happen to decide that fact.
Take a guess.
Well, it certainly looks like it to me.
Excellent. There we are then. That's that one wrapped up.
It's a system where you place bets on like a random outcome with things that definitely have monetary value, despite what Valve tries to claim. And then you win more of them or lose them accordingly. It's indistinguishable to me from gambling.
I would consider that the betting on esports matches.
Sure, that's a little different.
Probably, you know, that's much the same as betting on any sort of sports match or what have
you.
Yeah,
and I think, I don't know if that is following the proper gambling rules of like getting a license and following regulations.
That's the problem, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Although there was, as I recall, the other part of this was that YouTubers, pimping out these gambling sites and saying, "Hey, these sites are great. Look, wow, I've won all this amazing stuff." Yeah. And it turns out they actually owned them.
Yes, yeah, generally.
And then there was an apology video that was pretty much like the oil spill apology from South Park.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, a couple of YouTube guys. This happened after it was on July the 4th, basically. A couple of YouTubers, major YouTubers, Trevor Martin, Tom Castle. Tom Castle, by the way, who has been in trouble with the Federal Trade Commission on two previous occasions, but appears to give no fucks about that. And maybe right to give no fucks about that, because it kind of seems like nothing's happening to him. So, hey, maybe he's correct. Yeah, those two guys, it turned out they owned Counter-Strike Go Lotto. And there's another YouTube guy, Josh OG, whose real name I don't actually know. He has some ownership in it as well, but perhaps wasn't pimping it out quite so blatantly. I don't know. His name doesn't seem to come up quite as much as the other two, so I'm going to leave him out of it. Maybe he was disclosing. I don't know. So yeah, these two never mentioned that they owned CSGO Lotto, yet were doing a whole bunch of videos, as Tim says, going, yeah, look, hey, Trevor Martin was best. He was like, we found this gambling site, and we think it's really good. Maybe you should play on it too. Oh, did you? You found the site that you owned. Well, good job. Well done.
He's very forgetful, Peter.
Tim, I found this PC site called PCinvasion.com. I think you should,
really?
You should check it out. It's good.
Wow, this site sounds amazing. I should take a look at this sometime.
You absolutely should. It has the best reviews and news articles, bar none.
I wonder what happens if I click on their adverts. Wow, this is amazing!
Wow. That's so easy. Now I understand why Castle and Martin did it.
This video paid for by PCinvasion.com. Oh wait, that's the part they left
that's
out.
That's the part they completely left out, yeah. They eventually started mentioning they were like sponsored by CSGO Lotto, which, you know, is sort of approaching the truth, but still not actually true.
The truth is visible in the distance, on the horizon, as long as you've got a decent pair of binoculars.
The truth is completely visible if you know to look at the public business ownership records of Counter-Strike Go Lotto.com, which as a general viewer of YouTube videos, you probably don't. So needless to say, this completely breaks all of the FTC's rules on disclosure. It almost certainly breaks some gambling rules as well, although that's a bit of a dicey area because, as aforementioned, these sites aren't actually designated as gambling yet. So that's a kind of a more iffy area. But, you know, obviously, normally, if you own a casino and you go down to the floor and play some games and loudly exclaim, gosh, I'm winning all of this money. Look how amazingly I'm doing in my casino that I own. That's generally frowned upon by gambling regulators. Because they, you see, they don't know if you've rigged the odds, because you might have done, because you own the casino. And while there isn't...
And yet that would still be better than what happened here, because this is very much a case of them going in and going, wow, look how much money I've won in this casino that I found.
That I definitely don't own. Yeah, so that's all extremely shady and fucked up. So where this has progressed is there is now a second civil lawsuit against Valve along the same lines as the first one that I mentioned. This one was filed in Florida by someone on behalf of a youngster, underage minor. Because this is the new...
As opposed to an overage minor.
An overage minor, yes. Well, maybe you were confused and you thought I meant someone who had the job of mining the earth for precious metals.
I think there's another lawsuit if there's an underage minor.
So this is the other angle, of course, that because these things are completely unregulated and obviously people under the gambling age play Counter-Strike, a lot of people who've been gambling have been, or, you know, maybe gambling, because we don't know if it's gambling yet. A lot of the people who've been doing it have been underage. So that's great as well, isn't it?
Right.
Teaching children to gamble. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, in this second lawsuit, Martin and Castle have been added as defendants, so they now have a civil lawsuit to answer. We know, thanks to Ryan Morrison, who is a attorney specializing in video game stuff. He is on Twitter as Video Game Attorney. He has... I don't know if he's done this himself, but he's confirmed that complaints to the FTC have been filed and made, so we'll probably hear about that in like 2 more years or something. Because we can get on...
By which time we will have forgotten all about this.
Yeah, and then the FTC will publish their findings and we'll go, oh yeah, they've been fined like $1,000. Great. Everything's okay then. Yeah. So that's
Peter, you're sounding very cynical of the US government for some reason, and its regulatory bodies.
They're fine, and they can be very good and very powerful, but they have to catch up with circumstances first. I mean, the FTC don't levy like jail time or anything like that. I'm fairly sure they can only level fines. I think I might be wrong about that. Not a lawyer. Like, for this to get towards jail time stuff, someone would have to bring a criminal case. Again, Ryan Morrison thinks that might happen if a district attorney in one of the states gets wind of this and thinks, children gambling, that's probably bad, maybe I should bring a criminal case. But that hasn't happened yet, that may not happen. Yeah, I guess we just need to see what happens with the resolution of these two lawsuits against Valve, and my guess would be an undisclosed settlement in both cases, because that's what happens in lawsuits like 99% of the time. It's kind of disappointing.
A little bit. I like to know things.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know how much, you know, if Valve and or YouTube people had to shell out a bunch of money, I want to know how much it is.
Then again, I seem to remember writing some sort of thing about Valve in which I stated that they have absolutely no fucking idea what their company is doing.
They
can't find their arse with both hands of Mac and a flashlight. But
this area seems particularly egregious, in that they have allowed it to flourish completely untainted.
In fairness, this is like one area that they probably should know something about, as I'm assuming that if there is something they actually have, it's lawyers.
Yeah. And I mean, culpability is, well, what these...
Maybe their lawyers are busy working on Half-Life 3.
The culpability is what these lawsuits are looking to find, I suppose. So it's difficult for me to absolve them of all... any and all responsibility, just looking at this, and they may come to regret not regulating it themselves, because if they wind up with some like top down, maybe not that great legislation, they kind of only have themselves to blame for just ignoring it, honestly. In other FTC news, they finally settled.
Boring podcast ever.
Hey, FTC. Everyone loves FTC news. It stands for fun, terrific comedy.
Carry on.
They've settled a case from 2014 where Warner Brothers were paying YouTube people. Oh, YouTube people again. Wow. It's almost like they're really easily influenced by money and not particularly good at ethically disclosing their relationships to said money.
But Peter, they're honest, and it's those games journalists who are the corrupt ones.
Yeah, because remember back like 20 years ago when there was that one advertising scandal, all games journalism was therefore corrupt after that point. YouTube does it every fucking week, but no, they're all honest because they appear on camera and they're like 20 years old and vaguely presentable as human beings.
And they do sort of South Park oil spill BP we're sorry
yes.
videos.
Actually, let's just mention that. This video was up for about 5 hours because I came back from having dinner and it had been pulled already, and I was like, fucking hell. Yeah,
it's the fact that it starts with him playing with a golden retriever, yeah, and then he looks at the camera.
This is true.
It's like, oh, I didn't notice you there.
I was just playing with my adorable puppy dog. This poor innocent dog was like exploited for that video. It's shocking. Yeah, and then he basically read his legal counsel's statement after the first bit with the dog and going, I would never lie to you. I do everything for my fans. I love my fans. Fans, fans, fans. No. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Before we get like a billion comments, I'll point out there has been more than one scandal in terms of video games journalists.
Yeah, but right, think of the main ones, right? The main ones that I think of are the Driver 3 one. Right, how fucking long ago was Driver 3? Jesus Christ. And the other one I think of is Kane and Lynch advertising thing with GameSpot with Jeff Gerstmann, right? That was 2007. 2007! You know?
Yeah.
I know we've had a few more, but honestly, they're not...
Those are the big ones. Yeah. Now it's just unconfirmed. Although I don't know, there are some reviews that always make me a little bit suspicious.
Sure, I'm not. Yeah, yes, I agree absolutely. But you know what?
Like everyone who claimed that Dragon Age 2 was the best RPG ever made.
Do you know what though?
That might be a personal opinion. Maybe they've never played an RPG before.
It's possible. Do you know what though? I've never read a review that said, "Oh, by the way, I found this really good gambling site," and then it turned out that the publication who published that review owned the gambling site. That has never happened.
Yeah.
That is so far above and beyond anything printed games journalism has ever done.
Peter, we should do that. We should start up, because with video games journalism, we're in that area. We should start up a sort of a gambling site for Counter Strike and Team Fortress 2 and Dota 2.
Yeah,
lines.
Let's do a Dota. You
might want to cut this bit out of the podcast. Don't forget to do that.
No, it's fine, because if you're on YouTube and you get exposed for doing this shit, it doesn't matter, because your gormless fuckhead fans just come swarming back in droves going, oh, I can't believe that you've had such a hard week. Poor Trevor in your massive fucking house. Poor Trevor breaking the law blatantly and lying to us and exploiting every single one of us. We still love you.
I suppose we just need to go on camera and go, I'm sorry. Look at this adorable kitten.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
I've got a cat.
Bye.
I've got a cat. He won't mind. He'll appear on video.
Excellent.
Quite annoyed about that.
We just spent like 20 minutes talking about the FTC.
Well, mostly we were just complaining about YouTube. Hey, all right, for balance, I will say that this expose also originated on YouTube. So good work and hats off to, I think the first channel to notice it was one called Honor the Call. He was the one who dug up the CSGO Lotto ownership documents. So good journalism coming from YouTube there. No complaints. And also, it was kind of made more widely known and kind of signal boosted by a guy called Ethan Klein, who runs H3 Productions, which I presume is a stylizing of He Productions. So also very good work by him. So there you go. Hashtag not all YouTubers. A lot of them are shitheads, though, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Well, yeah. I can't argue that.
Including the ones that took the Warner Brothers shilling for... shilling in every sense for Shadow of Mordor, which was the thing that the FTC have just settled, where it turned out that, yeah, nobody disclosed that they were paid to basically advertise Shadow of Mordor with their gameplay videos. Although I think the onus is on Warner Brothers here, because they did lay out some disclosure stuff and it basically said, oh, just put a little thing in on the text description thing. But if it goes below the fold where you have to press more to see it, that's fine, don't worry about that. Even though by the rules you have to have this disclosure in the video, folks, a text description does not meet the FTC requirements for disclosure, because people do not read that shit. Anyway, so Warner Brothers got slapped on the wrist and told not to do it again. So I'm sure that'll stop this happening. Definitely. Yeah.
Completely done with this now.
Tim. Hello. Do you have something more cheerful to talk about?
No. I haven't paid much attention. What else is that? That's the major news.
I think
story,
that's about it for this week. Honestly, well, last week. This week I haven't seen much. Total Warhammer has suggested that they might be adding Beast Men soon. That's quite cool. I like Total Warhammer. I would like more factions to play in it. So hooray for Beast Men if that's the case.
Yeah, that could be quite interesting. Yep. They added in the Bretonnian campaign.
They haven't, no. That is still supposedly going to be the first like free playable thing. So I reckon Beast Men will be a paid one.
Yeah.
The teaser also kind of refers to some like Imperial Hunts Marshal character, and they are definitely adding some like legendary lords and magic schools for free, so it's quite possible that he will be free and the Beastmen stuff, if indeed they are appearing, it seems very much like they are, will be the paid bit or something like that. But, you know, it's that's quite a good game, that. Do you agree?
I quite liked what I played of it, certainly. I didn't play it as much as you. I didn't review it.
Yeah.
I played as the undead and murdered quite a lot of people, which was... I'm a fairly big fan of that.
A few of the problems I had with it, I think, have been... not necessarily patched out, but changed a bit in the big patch they released recently. The enemy AI hero spam is a little bit reduced, I think, in effectiveness, so that's good. What I kind of hope they do with it is, so you know the main thing that happens in this for every faction is Chaos show up, well, unless you're playing as Chaos. Chaos show up and start invading. I kind of hope that they eventually add more of those. So, like, it'll be... if you do a campaign, it'll maybe be randomized. So, you know, you might get a big Chaos invasion, or maybe you get Skaven showing up.
Yeah.
Or maybe you get Dark Elves showing up at the coastline, or, you know, whatever. And also...
Some other apocalypse invasion event.
Just all of them. Make Chaos show up and Skaven and Lizard Men and all of the elves. Get
a particularly bad roll on the RNG dice.
Yeah. And then you've just got to turtle up inside your capital and wait for it to blow over. I think that'd be cool. So I hope they do something
I'd quite like to see that. It would also be a bit weird if you were playing as the Beast Men and then Chaos invade.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would have to factor those things in.
I hope that there is a bug where you can play as Chaos and Chaos invades.
Well, if you play as Chaos, you're just fighting other Chaos. So, I mean, that's in a way happening. It's just,
I guess
you're trying to, you know, you're trying to be the best at Chaos so that you get the right to invade everyone else. I think.
So you're trying to bring order to Chaos, quite literally.
I guess so. Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
I also want them to add, because the Chaos the version of Chaos they have in at the moment is kind of the most boring one. I want them to add all the weird demon shit. You know, I want proper Slaanesh and Nurgle, and Tzeentch and all that.
Yeah, it was kind of mostly corn stuff.
Yeah, there is a Lord of Change who shows up at one point, but I don't know what he's doing there. He's just hanging out. He's in the intro as well, so that's not really a surprise.
As I said, I don't know a great deal about Warhammer Fantasy stuff. Admittedly, Chaos is basically...
it's basically the same in 40k, yeah.
Yeah, just like different units and stuff, but I'm assuming that all the gods are basically the same.
Yes, to my knowledge, yep. Anyway.
I could do without Nurgle, though. His shirt is gross.
It's very unpleasant, yes. I mean, none of them really have a whole lot going for them. Because Khorne will just murder you.
Yeah.
Slaanesh will pump you full of drugs and then fuck you to death, I think. Nurgle will do horrible plagues at you forever.
Yeah.
And Tzeentch will just fuck with you constantly, I suppose.
Yeah.
Go, kind of the,
drive you insane, and it turns out that everything was part of his plan all along.
He's like a really hyper workplace prankster who will just continually play terrible pranks on you until you go mental.
Yeah.
So yeah, not good people, really.
But he's also kind of the Chaos magician, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he likes that aspect of magic, I suppose, because you never know what's going to happen with magic.
Yeah.
What have you been playing, Tim? Anything good that you can talk about
quite a lot of
on this podcast?
Stuff at random. I played a little bit of Lawbreakers, which seems okay. I had a quick blast in that over the weekend. Still very early alpha, still quite a lot of work needs to be done on it, but I do like the basic fundamentals of it.
Now, Cliffy B has been trying to distinguish this game from Overwatch, poor guy, because of course he has to do that. And mostly what he settled on was that Lawbreakers has fewer anime waifus. That's it. Which seems accurate.
That's definitely true.
Good. All right. Good to have that confirmed.
It's also got, you know, giant gravity bubbles that really fuck with the momentum.
That sounds different.
Everything. And the only game mode that is currently in the alpha is sort of like a weird capture the flag thing, which Overwatch doesn't have because every map is either attack or defense.
Right.
It does have similarities in terms of, you've got three different types of attack and you've got an ultimate that charges up over time and so on, which is certainly similar. It's closer to Overwatch than the other argument that shot up. God, what was the game that 2K released that everyone forgot about?
Battleborn.
Battleborn, that's the one. It's a lot closer to Overwatch than Battleborn.
Yes, yeah.
Because Battleborn, I think, just had the bad luck of launching close to Overwatch and being sort of vaguely anime, cel-shaded,
similar looks.
Had sort
of colourful hero, yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't play anything like each other, though.
No, that's just very unfortunate launch timing. And I guess, I don't know, is Lawbreakers going to maybe run into the same thing? Or can they drag it out long enough that maybe people will start getting bored of Overwatch? And then will people get bored of Overwatch, I guess? Maybe not. They don't seem to be.
I don't know. Yeah, they've announced another hero this week for Overwatch, haven't they?
They have. It is Anna, who is Farrah's mother. I don't know who Farrah is, but, you know.
The one with the jetpack and the rocket launcher.
Okay, good. There you go. Well, her mum's in the game now. or will be soon. She's in the sort of public test branch or something on the PC version.
Yep. Which I would install to have a look at her if I could be fucked, but I probably can't.
She's a sniper, Tim. She's got us.
Yeah, she's a healing sniper.
That's right. She shoots a friend, then they get healed. She shoots an enemy, then they get hurt. It's a good system.
Yeah. I swear to God, I've seen this before, but I can't remember where.
Evolve, maybe?
Did Evolve have this? Oh yeah, Evolve is free now.
Yeah, oh right, that was other news. We're retroactively going back to, by way of Lawbreakers, we're remembering other news, folks. Yeah. This is good. Yeah, no, one of the snipers in Evolve was a healer. I don't recall whether the gun itself healed people, though. I don't think so. You had a different healing beam gun.
Right. No, I'm sure I can... I'm positive there's a game.
Mm.
Or I dreamt Blizzard, and Blizzard stole the idea from my dreams. And this is Blizzard, likely. So I wouldn't put it past them.
They have the technology. We know this.
But yeah, I'm sure I remember something where you had like a sniper rifle and you could fire healing darts to heal your team.
I mean, it's that's definitely been done before, because of course it has.
I could remember.
My best guess was Evolve, but I think that's not quite correct.
I wish I could remember.
Yeah, I haven't. So Evolve's pretty a little bit different now, I think. They've kind of scaled back the responsibility of the trapper. I don't think the trapper is the only one responsible for putting up that big bubble anymore.
Okay. The trapper is having a bit of identity confusion at the moment.
Well, I think they are now more involved in purely tracking, but not capture. I believe I have not played the free to play Evolve at this point.
This seems like a very good move for Evolve.
It does. It's 100% a good move, because prior to this there were about 1,000 people playing it on PC at the best of times, and now there are like several tens of thousands playing it on PC, which you have to say is a bit of an improvement.
Yeah, you make it free and do the usual free to play stuff with drops and earning stuff through the game or whatever.
Yeah, and everyone who owned it previously got to keep all the stuff that they bought, obviously. And you know, they've owned it for a year and a half or something. A year,
I don't know,
a while anyway, and are quite likely to be pleased by the fact that if they're on PC they've got someone to play with now. So that's got to be a good thing.
I meant to give this a look. I actually installed it and then had to delete it through your hard drive space before I had a chance to play it.
Oh well.
I will get around to installing it again.
I might. I might not.
I want to give it a go, because I had I enjoyed Evolve when I played it in the beta.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. it had something going for it. It just, man, it got sunk by their terrible messaging with DLC stuff and a few dubious balance things. Like, at least one of the monsters seemed massively better than all the rest. And their matchmaking was terrible. You would choose the character you wanted to be, and it would just be like, you choose to be one of the hunters and say, I definitely don't want to be the monster. And it'd be like, oh, you want to be the monster? Okay, there you go. No.
That happened to me.
No, Evolve.
That happened to me in the very first game I played in the beta. I was like, I don't give a shit which hunter I am. Yeah. I just don't want to be the monster, because I'm trying to work out how to... Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm the monster.
Yeah, that problem kind of persisted throughout.
Not only that, I was the monster in a game that was like 3/4 over.
Oh right, yeah, that's always
I presume whoever was playing the monster just quit or something. And so I was dumped into this thing where I was already trapped up in a bubble and being shot at by everyone. I was trying to work out what the fuck was going on.
Also, if you came up against someone who was good at playing the monster, which, you know, fair enough, basically as the hunter, 10 minutes of your game would just be kind of wandering around this map, which, like, okay, it's quite pretty and everything, and yes, maybe we should be better at this so that we're doing less wandering around the map, but
yeah,
something was a bit off about that. It's but no, when it worked, basically if the team and the monster were of equivalent skill levels, be that very skilled or not very skilled, then it worked pretty well. The problem was, only, you know, one game in every three or four turned out like that. And then on PC, at least, everyone stopped playing it. So the only people you had left were the people who were incredibly good at it.
So anyway, that's free now.
Yeah, so you can try that if you want.
What else have I played? I played Pillars of Eternity.
Oh, right.
I got most of the way through that.
That's just got a new patch.
It turned out to basically be Baldur's Gate 2. It's all right. I don't have much more to say about it, except that it's Baldur's Gate 2, basically. Even taking quite a lot of cues from it in terms of the story, from what I saw. That was pretty good. Had fun with that. What's in the new patch? Anything important?
It seemed to mostly be kind of general fixes that they were still tidying up, that they hadn't quite... It was stuff like... your characters will no longer slide along the floor when getting up from a prone position, things like that. Right. So a couple of like balance changes to, I think, the barbarian and rogue classes, but nothing. Didn't seem to be anything
broken
major.
My rogue, the assholes.
I don't know if they've broken it. They might have made it slightly less effective if you found a skill that seemed uncommonly good. I don't know.
Yes, it was called Sneak Attack.
No, that's always uncommonly good in these types of games. That's fine.
it was good. I do like, actually, that Pillars of Eternity let you respec your characters in exchange for gold, because gold became almost entirely pointless about halfway through.
Oh, yeah. Have you finished the entire thing? Or
no, I basically got to the end and then I stopped and started doing other stuff.
Yeah, well,
instead.
So my end game,
I was on Act 3.
All right,
and I'd done a few bits in.
Yeah,
that,
my end
so,
game group has something like 120,000 gold. It's a bit ridiculous, frankly. But hey, retiring rich—that's good. Something a games journalist will never do.
it was nice that I could respec, because I respec'd from like a dual wielding daggers rogue into an archer rogue, and noticed that and got that bow that made a chain lightning thing happen the first time you get a critical hit in a fight. That was hilarious, because my rogue just kept critical hitting everybody. And excellent. Even though only the first one, you know, did a chain lightning, it still did ludicrous amounts of damage and was great.
Nice. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is quite easy to, I guess, break the combat system of Pillars of Eternity. It seems
to get easier as I went on, but that might also have just been because that was around the time when I started figuring out just how insanely powerful the buffs and debuffs were.
Once you've got a handle on that, it's...
Early on, I was like, oh, okay, well, I want these damage skills. I was like, no, you just want the debuff skills, and then your regular attacks will be doing about 20 times the damage.
Yep. Cool. I've played Inside.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about Inside before I go back through my list of other shit I've played in the last 3 weeks. Yep. How is Inside?
It's very good.
Is it better than Limbo?
I'd say yes. I'd say it is, yeah.
In that case, I would say it's going to be fucking a lot better than Limbo, because it's got no giant spider in it.
It's large portions of it feel like refinements of stuff they did in Limbo. It's a tricky one, because it's one I don't want to talk too much about specifically, because there's good things that happen in it that I think people benefit by seeing for themselves.
I've heard a lot of people say that it does the atmosphere quite well, like a general sense of dread and the horrible things and so on, which surprises me a little bit. Because it doesn't, it doesn't seem like it would do that nearly as effectively as Limbo, for instance.
No, it's pretty good at it. It's pretty damn good at it. It's got this whole like film noir German expressionism lighting style to it, which look, that's a thing.
I know, nerd.
Don't get me started on Brechtian distancing, Tim.
Hey, look, I studied drama. I can talk about Brecht all day.
Excellent. I don't know if Inside has any.
Let's not actually do this.
Well, it's got really good lighting. There you go. Tremendous use of shadow and light and all of this stuff, which you can probably tell from if you've seen screenshots from it. It does a very kind of oppressive, bleak world, you know. Yeah, much like Limbo, everything is dangerous to your...
15 quid? I'm not sure I'm paying 15 quid for this.
It's worth it, man. You could wait for a sale, but I'd say it's worth it. It's not a long game, but it's really good.
Yeah, you've apparently played it for 4 hours.
I have played it for 4 hours, yes.
4.1 hours, claims Steve.
And I have not found all of the collectibles, so if I were to try and do that, that would presumably take a bit more time. I don't know if I'm going to do that. I might. I kind of want to play it through again, though, to sort of look at background details that may have just sort of passed me by a bit to begin with, but now I'm actually looking for stuff that pertains to the plot a bit more, if that makes sense, and going, sure. Oh, so they're in the background there because of this.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So... much like Limbo, you are a small boy running left to right, generally.
I'm starting to think this studio has something against children.
They definitely have their themes that they come back to. The sort of... this happens very early, so this is fine.
Small child being horribly murdered.
They return
repeatedly.
Yeah, absolutely. They return to the sort of... do you remember the brain parasite things in Limbo? Yeah, they return to that sort of theme as well, a little bit. So that's going on. They've definitely got areas they like to explore. Do play dead, and yes, brutal child murder features heavily inside as it did in Limbo. It's less. I mean, Limbo was.
I like how, like Fallout 2 had to remove the brutal child murder. But Play Dead are right to make entire games about it.
It's pretty funny.
Maybe it's just because Play Dead, you know, the idea is to try and avoid it. Whereas in Fallout 2, it was just a thing you could do.
It's so horrible. There was a point where I saw some people, and it's like, oh, I haven't actually seen any people in this game for a long time. Normally they're chasing after me and trying to kill me, but you guys are just kind of hanging out. That seems all right. I'll go and see what's up. One of the guys instantly runs towards me, presses my face against a metal bar, and chokes me to death on a railing.
That's quite horrific.
Like, fucking hell.
That's actually... Yeah, that's horrific.
Yeah, it is. It is horrific. I mean, it... You know, it's narratively justified, but that doesn't make it any less distressing when you see a grown man choking out a child.
I'm going to recommend this to my sister-in-law.
Yeah, anyone who has children, definitely recommend it to them. They'll love it.
Yeah.
What stuff can I mention without kind of ruining it? It's got some good puzzles.
You can't talk about that.
They're better puzzles than Limbo, I think. Yeah, so you know how Limbo was stronger in the first half than it was in the second half. I would say in
the second half, I can barely remember the second half.
There was
I think that's when gravity started to get fucked up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like gravity and cogs and gears and stuff like that.
So
Limbo, Limbo kind of tapered off in the second half. I think Inside starts strong and stays strong and ends strong. So
that was also the point, I think, where Limbo started to get very meta and weird. Like before that, it was
Inside also gets weird.
It wasn't hugely unrealistic. Like it was a forest bit and a city bit.
Yeah,
and then the last bit was just kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about Inside.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked Limbo, you will. Actually, I would say if you like Limbo, you will definitely enjoy Inside as well. But then I read John Walker's review on Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and he likes Limbo, but seems to despise Inside, so I guess...
He doesn't like anything, Peter.
We like Limbo. I don't know what happened.
Limbo was released several years ago, and he has not liked anything since then.
I guess not. Well, anyway,
yeah.
I'm still 99% sure that if you like Limbo, this is a better game and you'll enjoy it equally, if not more. So, It's got
five to ten years ago, I used to find that I would agree with John Walker on basically everything, and now I find that he just despises everything.
Which is kind of an interesting character to play as a reviewer. I mean, Tom Chick does that quite well as well. So
he does actually he does like things
yeah, no,
as
he
well,
does,
though.
He does. To be fair, I'm pretty sure John Walker likes things. I have read reviews of his recently where he's liked things. They're normally obscure puzzle games. But
I stopped reading Rock, Paper, Shotgun a while ago, so...
Right.
I stopped reading basically every gaming site a while ago, although I did find this good one called PC Invasion.
Really? What's their thing? What do they do?
All sorts of stuff about games. Right. It's pretty good. Oh, sure. They got good reviews.
Yeah? All right. I'll look at that.
Except for this review of a game of Hitman Absolution. What a pile of wank that was.
Fuck you. Also, I say one more thing about Inside. I really love how it uses character animation and environmental context to teach you things, rather than going, it's a stealth section, you should avoid these men.
Yeah,
go into crouch mode. That's all, you know, it realizes it really doesn't need to do any of that. It just shows you that the boy is afraid of the mans, so you think, right, I should avoid these mans, and they're obviously out in the woods, like, rounding people up. I can tell from context, so yeah, it's all
spoiler
that.
There are men in the woods.
Men in the woods doing sinister things.
More spoilers.
Again, that happens within like 30 seconds. I think I'm safe with that one.
Well, I'll let you off.
Spoiler.
The comments, man.
Inside.
The comments.
Spoiler, Inside has a forest. Just like Limbo.
Well, yeah,
that actually
is quite a big spoiler, because it's called Inside, and I assumed that the entire game was set inside.
You're inside a forest.
Apparently it doesn't start off inside, it starts off outside.
But you're inside a forest.
No, you're in a forest.
Fine.
But you are outside.
Well, are you though? Are you?
Oh, fuck me, this has gotten semantic very quickly.
Alright, moving on before we start spoiling Inside at all. Oh, I wouldn't want to do that.
I caught up, I played Call of Duty Black Ops 3, which I couldn't write about last year because I have a friend who works for Activision.
I couldn't write about it because Activision didn't send it to me. And
yeah.
Paul didn't fancy buying it, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I played Call of Duty Black Ops 3. It has some of the worst fucking dialogue I've heard since Diablo 3.
Outstanding. What kind? Examples, please?
I can't give you any specific examples. Oh. I just mean that it is so generic, boring soldier man stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's the worst kind of dialogue,
isn't
it? Because it's not even amusingly bad. It's just...
Yeah. It has a fairly silly plot.
Copy that. Tango
and,
4. Engaging.
I never once operated on a black person, so the name is misleading.
Do you not even do any, like, field triage on a comrade who happens to be black? No? Okay.
No.
No black operations at all.
One of the...
Scandalous.
What was I going to say?
You got tied up in pun about the name.
The worst part is that it does the usual sort of corridor thing, sort of the standard linear shoot thing, where you've got an AI buddy who needs to go in front of you and open all the doors. Yep. Except that in this game, for like 80% of the game, it feels like he is the main character. And you are just, you know, someone who's there.
So actually you're the AI, just kind of following around, you know.
Yeah.
He's Gordon Freeman, and you're, you know, just some guy from the city.
You're Barney.
You're Barney, yes. Wow. I kind of like that in a way. I would like a game to go the whole distance and make you not the protagonist. That would be a really interesting...
That's a cool concept. Yeah. There's a lot that could be done with that. It's just this kind of does it by accident.
Yeah.
And only for about 70% of the game. It's all right. I've only played the single player. I haven't played the multiplayer, which I realise is kind of the main thing. I just want to say the single player is a bit rubbish. I was quite disappointed by it. Doesn't have lots of amazing set pieces. It's just got quite a lot of shooting, which is meh. You do have magic cybernetic superpowers, which are very funny.
A lot of the adverts made it look like it might kind of gesture towards Deus Ex type stuff, and I thought, oh, maybe the single player might be interesting and stuff. But
a little bit. You do have these magic cybernetic superpowers, and every time you finish a mission, and I think every time you like complete some challenges, because each mission has sort of score style challenges that you can do, kill two people with one sniper rifle shot.
Sure.
Get through this section using only melee attacks without being spotted, and so on and so forth, which is pretty cool. You can upgrade your cybernetic abilities, and they're divided into three. There's control and chaos and something else. And control lets you do stuff like take over the enemy drones and use them. And chaos tends to be things like blinding the enemies temporarily and so on and so forth. That's kind of neat. It's very hard to know which set you should be taking into a mission most of the time.
Right, because presumably if there aren't many drones, for example, you don't really want the drone control one.
You do have like a pre-briefing thing which gives you an idea of what sort of enemies you're going to come up against, but obviously you don't get a huge amount of specifics because that would spoil it.
Yeah,
You know, it'll go, we're expecting heavy infantry presence. But, you know, are those infantry going to also be backed up by drones? You don't know. It seems all right. I'll probably reinstall it and try playing multiplayer at some point. I picked it up in the Steam sale because it was fairly cheap. It was okay. Not as good as I was expecting, maybe. Still better than Ghosts.
I own that one. That's not hard. Maybe I should play that for research purposes. It's got a dog in it.
It's got a remote control dog in it.
Oh, wow. All right. Almost sold me on that.
No, the plot does do some interesting stuff, although if you've ever read any cyberpunk stuff, you'll probably have seen all of its tricks before. It does have one or two nice set pieces towards the end, which I would talk about, but
that's always the end.
I realise the game has been out for a while, in about 3 or 4 months, there will be an entirely new Call of Duty for us to not talk about.
Call of Duty in space.
Yes.
Maybe Activision will send us this one.
I doubt it.
I have no reason to believe that they will, but we can ask. You never know.
We can ask.
Then they'll ignore us later.
Right, quickly, two other things that I played. One thing that I've played.
I've played something else as well, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, you carry on. You go.
I played a bit of Romance of the Three Kingdoms 13, which...
Are you caught up on the plot? Is there a really long prologue that tells you about the previous 12 games?
Well, yeah.
This is a long fucking romance. Romeo and Juliet was pretty short. That's one cool.
Not only that, it spills over into Dynasty Warriors as well. So, for the longest time, I thought Romance of the Three Kingdoms was the spin-off from Dynasty Warriors, but it turns out Dynasty Warriors is the spin-off from Romance of the Three Kingdoms. So there we go. I didn't realise that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dynasty Warriors is basically Romance of the Three Kingdoms, the 3D brawler.
Yeah, the action. The goofy action game, basically.
Yeah. Although Romance of the Three Kingdoms is also, you know, a historical.
Yes, absolutely.
Chinese history.
Yes.
As is Dynasty Warriors. Although the actual period in history probably isn't as campy and ridiculous as Dynasty Warriors.
But I hope it is. Yeah, well, Romance of the Three Kingdoms is kind of. It's one of those historical texts where we're not sure how much of it is authentic and how much of it is ironically romanticized, right? It's kind of like, can I compare it to like Robin Hood, I guess, in the sense that he was probably a real person, but maybe didn't do that stuff. Because I know,
as I recall, Cow-Cow Robin Hood,
Liu Bei, they're real people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I recall, Robin Hood was an invention of dye merchants, was a thing, because Lincoln Green was actually, is kind of a, it's a translation that's gotten very badly mangled in history. It's not actually green. It's something like Lincoln Grain, and it's actually red. And so he wore red, and at that point red was an extremely expensive dye and so on and so forth. And Robin Hood was basically an advertising vehicle for dye merchants.
I've heard other theories that he's tied into like ancient village pagan festivals and stuff like this.
Possibly, but that as well.
But I mean, this is the problem with this is the problem with history from a long time ago. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make about Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Because, like, Liu Bei is the, at least in the games, like, noble, heroic superstar. But I think in reality he was kind of a bandit. So, and not a particularly nice guy.
Yeah.
That is my understanding. I'm not a scholarly expert on Romance of the Three Kingdoms, despite having played a lot of Dynasty Warriors and now one Romance of the Three Kingdoms game.
How is it?
It's interesting. It's different from a lot of other strategy games. You're playing like an individual character, so I guess a little bit in a Crusader Kings type way, maybe. And depending on like the rank of that character, you'll be involved more or less with the comings and goings and to doings of the kingdom. So basically, you can improve the stuff you can do is you can improve cities, you can improve their like commerce and agriculture and stuff. You can improve the quality of the troops from the cities. A lot of stuff is like making bonds between characters, so like attracting other generals to your cause and stuff like this. That's
quite a different take on strategy.
It is a bit more kind of character focused, which is what I found interesting. There's like a historical mode, which is effectively the tutorial. It starts you off with like super basic things like go to this city and get this item and come back and this guy will be your friend, etc. And then gradually builds up and teaches you how to raise your armies and deploy forces and attack other cities and stuff. When you attack cities or you get into a battle on the river, it turns into a sort of pseudo RTS thing where you can control your squads of troops, and depending which generals are in charge, you have like a special ability that you can deploy occasionally.
Does it play out like Total War or
it's a lot more simplistic than Total War. You basically capture points to lower the enemy morale. There's a bit of stuff like flanking. If you charge into the side, you'll get a flanking bonus. It'll hurt their morale. That's about the extent of the tactics, really. It's mostly a numbers thing. It's if you
throw men at meat grinder.
Yeah, if you've shown up with the biggest force, you're gonna win, unless you're idiots, basically.
Is that because of how the game works, or is that more that the AI doesn't really take advantage of
tactics? I think it's how the game works. I think you're supposed to have managed your cities and managed the strategy correctly to then have built up a big enough force to be able, to have a good chance. I mean, if the numbers are even, then a player is going to be able to outwit the AI.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I could. With my amazing...
I'm not sure I could.
With my amazing stratagems. The boat fights are much the same, except you can do a thing where you like link the boats together, which gives them better attacking and abilities and stuff. But if the enemy has like fire boats, that can fuck you up because all your boats are linked and the fire will spread between them.
Nice.
Yeah, some of the commander abilities are pretty cool, like the fireboat. And there's another guy who has one that basically, just sets an area of the map on fire. Then it'll spread.
A lot of fire?
Yeah.
Are there any bees?
And then if...
Fire bees are people.
Bees that I've seen so far. And obviously, if you're playing as Lu Bu, then he has a kind of like a buff that makes him even more of a badass than he normally is. Yeah, basically. I think it's called.
He just runs in and kills an army. I think it's called. He's fucking Lu Bu.
I think it's called Undefeatable or something like that. Just makes him absurdly strong.
Oh, that sounds like Lu Bu.
Yeah. It was different and interesting. I didn't get deep enough into it to know whether it has the kind of depth and longevity. It
sounds, from what you've said, it sounds like it probably wouldn't, but it also sounds like it's quite an entertaining take on what it does, so you might not mind anyway.
I'm going to stick with Dynasty Warriors because I like murdering 20 soldiers at once with an absurd fan attack or something, but knocking out 20 soldiers at once. Nobody ever
just
dies.
Just play as Lu Bu.
Poke everyone with a spear. So it was interesting. I was thinking of going on to review that, and then all this Counter-Strike gambling shit happened, so I didn't, basically. But now I've talked about it a bit, so
you feel you feel justified.
Yeah, I feel like I justified in those 4 or 5 hours that I put into it.
Cool. Yeah. No, that sounds interesting. I might give that a look if it becomes cheap, because I think it is ludicrously expensive on Steam.
It'll always be, because it's a Tecmo Koei game. It's always going to be expensive.
It's like $49.99 or something like that, and they're also really bad at doing sales.
It didn't necessarily strike me as being worth $49.99. I'll say that. But for a slightly different take on strategy, it had a few things going for it. A bit more character oriented. If you like the period and that's, you know, those characters, then hey, it could be worth it. So what else have you played?
I keep trying to find a means of kind of understanding the Romance of the Three Kingdoms story. Like, I'm sure there must be a televised serial.
It starts off, Tim, with the Yellow Turban Rebellion, who were rebelling against corrupt Han Dynasty, who were full of...
I recall this from Dynasty Warriors,
of eunuchs for some... They always mentioned that the Han Dynasty was controlled by eunuchs, so Varys is basically running everything. And then Cao Cao turns up.
I would like to actually watch this.
Well, there is a series, isn't there?
I'm sure there are probably several, because it's such a famous piece. There are probably loads of them.
There's a good live-action series, but I've never been able to find a good torrent of it with subtitles. So.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain there are several. That's what I mean. Mm. It's one of those things that I keep wanting to look into.
I definitely want to.
Because I don't fancy reading a translation of the text.
No. I feel like Dynasty Warriors edits out quite a lot of the boring bits.
Dynasty Warriors is a game about hitting people with fan theater. I'm fairly certain it edits out quite a lot of stuff.
And it's got, well, I know there's definitely that battle where there's a massive fleet in the harbor, but then the other guys attack and they send fireboats in, because that mission's in every single Dynasty Warriors. So that was definitely a key one.
There's also probably one point where Lu Bu turns up and changes the tide of a battle.
Yep. There's the battle of
fucking Lu Bu.
Battle of Hu Lao Gate. That was definitely a thing, because that's in every Dynasty Warriors too.
I think I've only ever played like two, maybe three Dynasty Warriors games, but they do repeat scenarios quite a lot.
Well, I mean, they're doing the same history, so they kind of have to. It's kind of like saying, well, World War II games doing fucking World War II again.
Well, that's the thing though, right? You can say this World War II game is doing World War II again, but there's, you know, it's a fairly lengthy period with quite a lot of theatres of war.
Well, yeah.
There is a lot of stuff there to explore. You don't need to keep doing the fucking European theatre and over again.
For Romance of the Three Kingdoms, it has to be China though, doesn't it? You can't really get away from that. Yeah, China's a big country, mind you.
And I'm sure there are like some battles that they probably haven't done yet. There were quite a lot of battles.
They do keep introducing new characters, so there must be plenty of characters in that book. Because I don't think they're just making them up. Well, they might be. Maybe they are at this stage, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Anyway.
I want a Robin Hood Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, I would play that. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I was thinking about writing this because no one else is going to fucking do it. But I wanted like a Robin Hood series, a TV series, only Robin Hood is basically Garrett from Thief.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind this. Because there was a pretty shit BBC Robin Hood series recently-ish.
It was fucking dreadful.
Yes, it was.
But I really like Robin Hood as a character, as a concept, and everyone keeps fucking it up horribly.
Didn't it have Keith Allen as the Sheriff of Nottingham?
Maybe.
I remember that was actually quite good, because he was just chewing the scenery constantly. But the rest of it, I recall being pretty bad.
Yeah, I think I watched a few episodes of it, and it was shite.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to see a
yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know. I hesitate to use the word mature because that has such oddly juvenile connotations.
Yeah.
But, you know, a bit of a different take on it. I think something where he's...
You mean mature in a Coen Brothers sense rather than tits and gore sense?
Yeah. I'm not talking about Robin Hood of Thrones. But, yeah, you know, I think that you could do a lot with those characters, with that period and with that general story. Which is probably why... I mean, lots has already been done with it. Like how lots of people keep setting it during different periods in, well, different parts of the same period in history.
I like the one that has Sean Connery as older Robin Hood, and he's coming back from the Crusades. And getting the band back together, basically. That's what I can't remember what it's called, but it's good.
You've got bits and pieces where he's the Lord of Loxley and so on, and he's trying to get his land back. And you've got others where the whole thing about him being nobility is completely excised.
And then you've got, look into my eyes, you will see.
Do we have to pay royalties now?
No, I think I sung it poorly enough to get away with that.
It's probably fair use under parody. And,
you know, I mean, that version isn't terrible, because at least it's got Alan Rickman again as Sheriff of Nottingham.
Alan Rickman is fucking brilliant.
If you get a good person to play the Sheriff of Nottingham, then it's your version is at least good for something. But... The Painted Man.
I actually kind of want to watch that again just because it's got Alan Rickman in it in one of his finest roles. I mean, the man does a lot of really good villains. But also,
you've got the great segment where, if you know anything about English geography, where they land like on Dover Beach and then 10 minutes later they're at Hadrian's Wall. It's like, wow, time travel. Amazing.
England's small, man.
He just strolled up to Hadrian's Wall, you know.
That's no not like deal. A day's journey by train or anything.
It's fine. He had a horse, probably. Is he still walking at that point? I'm not sure. Because some soldiers show up, and I can't remember if they get horses by nicking them off the soldiers. Anyway,
that film is terrible. Didn't it have Morgan Freeman in it as well?
Yes, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Wow, it had two phenomenal actors in it.
He invents the spyglass.
Oh, yeah. So that Robin... I've forgotten about that.
Or maybe, I don't know if he invents it, but he adopts the technology of his land.
There was a really fucking terrible NES game based on this movie. It was really bad.
I wouldn't say this movie is terrible, honestly. It's not... Great. No. It's okay.
It's cheesy.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Anyway, the NES game.
Like I say,
let's bring it back to video games here. Not PC ones, but...
the NES game was fucking terrible. This was in the period when every movie tie-in was terrible, though.
So. Every film had a tie-in, and they were universally bad. Well, almost universally.
Other things what I played.
Yes.
One of them I have not actually played on PC, but it is out on PC.
Oh, well, I'll allow it.
It is currently free on PlayStation Plus, which is why I played it, and it's called Fury.
Oh, I played this as well. Cool.
It's pretty fucking good. I like it a lot.
Okay. I didn't like it as much, but well, to be fair, I played the first couple of bosses and then was like, this problem.
The second boss is fucking shit.
Okay. Maybe I'll progress.
I hate the second boss and her final stage in particular.
I just kind of felt like, this isn't for me. I respect what you're doing, Fury, but I'm not sure I'm going to persist with this. So yeah, it would be wrong to say I didn't like it, I guess, but it does
a very bad job of explaining some of its gameplay mechanics.
Yes, they're all in the like how to play. Well, not all, but a lot of them are in that how to play menu.
It still it still barely explains some of those as well. I don't know if it ever mentions that you can do your dodge move while charging up a sword attack and stuff like that.
I think that's one of the ones that implies in the menus. Yeah. Maybe doesn't outright say.
There's a lot of stuff in there. It reminds me quite a lot of Afro Samurai. A techno Afro Samurai. Which apparently the character designer is the same person.
Oh right. That would explain that.
Between Afro Samurai and Fury.
If I go back to it, I think I'll change the language to Japanese. Just because a lot of the dialogue kind of annoyed me. And if it's in Japanese, I can pretend it's profound. Rather than just having a guy going, "Eat this! You will never defeat me!" Oh, shut up.
The first boss is the worst for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the tutorial guy, so...
Yeah, no, it improves.
And then
you've kind of got tutorial guy and then shouty girl, who is just the most annoying boss I've fought so far.
Well, also, it made me like auto walk for about 5 minutes between the boss as well, and that was pretty boring.
you can auto walk, you don't have to.
Oh. Well, I don't really want to manually walk either, because that's also boring. I just want to fight some more bosses.
I left that on auto walk. Yeah, that was weird.
I'm focusing on the bits I don't like. I'm sorry. It has good bits.
No, I sort of like the auto walking thing. Oddly enough, I found it like after the frenetic, intense boss battles. I like having a sedate auto walk segment through what is generally some incredibly stunning terrain. Except for the battle, the first and second section.
Right, I should play more of it, is basically the message I'm getting.
You've seen most of how the gameplay functions. It is kind of a cross between sort of melee boss fights and a bullet hell shooter with Carpenter Brut music.
Yes, that part I like a lot, obviously.
Yes. I don't know whether it ever mentions that you can parry bullets either, actually.
No, it doesn't. I don't think.
Yeah, when you're in the bullet hell segments, you can actually parry the bullets back as well.
Is this like Resident Evil 6, where it's just possibly the actual way to play is sort of a secret?
You may want to snap the controller towards the end of the second boss fight. I'm just going to say that there is like the very final bit of that boss fight is a fucking nightmare.
I think I know. Yeah, I think I may know what you're talking about.
Giant fucking sweeping laser beam that gets faster and faster and is basically frame perfect dodge time.
That was the point where I thought maybe this game is not for me.
That was where I gave up last night, and then I played it a bit more today and did that boss and then the two after that, and found myself liking it a bit more.
Somehow, despite throwing myself happily at Dark Souls bosses over and over again, I just found the prospect of like, oh, it's got all of its health bars back again. If I go back in now, and this is going to be like another half hour before I get a shot at that last phase.
I did actually find that I got a lot better the more I played. Like, I definitely started learning the patterns. And there are also...
So that you can get through it pretty quickly because you know when to pop in and batter them. Yeah.
And if you start getting the hang of their attacks and so on and so forth, you can even sort of dodge behind them when they do an attack and get a few hits in while they're doing it, and you get a hell of a lot faster at it.
Okay.
I like some of the mechanics it has, like the fact that you get health back on successful parries, which is really, really nice. Because it means that even if you're doing a segment for the first time, if you fuck up a few times, it doesn't matter. If you get a few parries, you're still in.
And I like also that you get your full you get one health bar pip back after doing like a phase of the boss game.
Yeah, it's almost it's like quite... a fighting game in that sense, like a one-on-one fighter, in that when you beat a phase, you get all your health back, and so does the enemy, but they've got one health pip less as they've moved on to the next phase. It's got a lot of really cool little bits like that. I quite like it. I can understand that a lot of people will probably dislike it, that second boss is probably going to be a stopping point for a few people because of that fucking laser beam.
My tepidness on it is purely down to me thinking I just don't know if I have the patience to get good enough at this, basically. I don't know if I want to invest, but that's on me. That's not on the game.
See, I like the atmosphere. I like the weird sedateness of the auto-walk bits. As I said, it reminds me a lot of Afro Samurai, not least the whole sort of silent, stoic warrior.
Yes.
Walking through while a possibly imaginary character is narrating and talking to him.
Who wears a big bunny hat, which is great.
Yeah. I'm curious. I will say that. I'm definitely going to play more.
I also got the sense that he's talking to himself effectively, but then maybe not. No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought that, but this character seems to know things that the stranger, which I think is the name of the character you play, or the title, he seems to know things that you shouldn't.
Okay. All right.
But then again, Afro Samurai was very weird with that as well, and all the different adaptations ended differently. The manga ended differently to the anime, ended differently to the game.
Okay.
So, fuck no.
Well, also, the guy's been in prison an awfully long time, so he may just have disassociated so much that part of his personality now knows things that the other part of his personality is denying.
He has been in prison, being tortured literally to death repeatedly, because apparently they can't actually kill him. He keeps regenerating after he dies.
That's gonna mess you up.
Yeah. He's a bit messed up. But the jailer is the key. Kill him and be free.
That's right. I did. I liked his hexadecimal from Reboot style mask that he had.
Yeah, that was quite neat.
That was neat. Yeah, I like the designs. They're very good.
One thing is when you beat bosses, depending on how well you beat them, because you can go back and challenge them again in practice mode if you want to, so you get a better ranking. You unlock bits of concept art as per usual.
Oh, right.
But it's actually kind of neat for them. It's not just like, oh, it's a picture. It's like properly annotated.
Okay, cool.
It's quite nice. I like it.
I also find it a bit weird that you don't get a ranking. Well, you do, but you only know what that ranking is if you go back into the practice mode. I find it a bit weird it didn't give you one during the game. I mean, obviously that's a stylistic choice, but
yeah, I think that's kind of like the whole thing. I'm trying to almost equate it to a drug trip,
but
I'm not sure how, because it's got kind of like the slow walking bits would probably be quite mesmerizing on certain illicit substances, while the frenetic bits not so much.
Well, especially some of the full screen of pulsing bullets and stuff like this.
It's an interesting game anyway.
No, it is, and like definitely if you've got PSN, PS Plus, it's free, so you have literally nothing to lose by a game.
Except for your bandwidth. I don't know whether I'd recommend it on PC. I'd want to play it more first, and I'd want to actually play it on PC, because this seems like it could either control really well or really badly on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. I can see it going either way.
It really could, yeah. It could be this is great, and the preferred method, or...
Yeah, I do. A friend of mine does have it on PC, but he's been playing it with a 360 controller. I don't think he's tried mouse and keyboard, so...
Right.
He likes it quite a lot as well. I think I mostly stuck with it because he told me to do so, or I would have just given up at the second boss and never played it again. but no, I think at this point I've decided I'm in for the long haul or until a boss really pisses me off again.
That's fair.
The other thing I played, which I'm not going to talk about very much, is RimWorld, which has been in alpha for fucking ages.
It's going to early access soon, isn't it, I think?
It is, on Friday, I believe, alongside a major update, which is what I've been playing.
Okay.
That was nice of them. They gave me an early access build.
So briefly, what type of game is this? I've heard it compared to, like, Prison Architect.
Yeah, it's kind of like Prison Architect stroke Dwarf Fortress, without a horrendously shit interface.
Good. That's Dwarf Fortress you're referring to there, not necessarily Prison Architect. Yes. I don't know what their interface is like.
Prison Architect's interface is pretty good, actually. They did quite a lot of work on that. They've revised it about 17 times. They've probably revised it again since the last time I played it, so I don't know.
No doubt.
Maybe Prison... Yeah. I'll probably fire up Prison Architect and wonder what's happened to the interface. but yeah, it's a game where... The primary mode is you have three colonists who crash land on a planet, which is randomly generated. You can generate it from a seed, and you can also pick where you land or leave it up to the game. And you basically need to build a colony, and eventually, I think, build a ship to escape the planet. But that's going to require a lot of research, and you'll need foodstuffs. You'll probably get some new colonists. You'll trade with other tribes on the planet, and probably be attacked by raiders. And yeah, you try and build up and defend your own little slice of this planet with a vaguely sort of Firefly vibe in the music. And yeah, it's quite neat, and I've managed to accidentally murder people many, many times.
Including me.
Yes. Yeah, I've had two attempts at making a PC Invasion bunker, using PC Invasion as the world seed and the scenario seed at one point, and it went horribly wrong both times, I will probably write about.
Don't know what to infer from that. Is that a warning? A warning from history? I'm not sure.
I was actually quite pleased that the one where I didn't use... it as a scenario seed. I just left it on the basic scenario of three colonists crash land on the planet. That actually made it very, very easy in the location I chose to build this big underground bunker as my base. I went proper dwarf fortress and tunneled into a mountainside and found a sort of open area in the middle of it, which was really nice because, you know, I could build a farm there and stick some solar panels down and not have them out to the front, right next to where raiders would inevitably attack from. But that did not end well, as you will find out when I write about this, which will probably be sometime soon.
All right. RimWorld. That leaves itself
there are
open
lots and...
to all sorts.
Yes.
I know. I'm not even going to bother. It's too easy.
Yes, it is.
That's about it for our podcast, I think. This FTC special. Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, this was like 30 minutes on the FTC, and then, about 45 minutes of us talking about the stuff we've played over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, works for me. I hope it worked for you, listeners. Remember to check out that amazing site that we've just found. PCinvasion.com.
It's really good.
See if you like it as much as we do. and if not, we'll be back with an apology video featuring my cat.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Peter, will you actually do that if people in the comments...
will I actually do an apology? I don't think Marlo would sit still long enough to do an apology video, frankly. I'd have to hold him up for a couple of seconds till he squirms.
I want this to happen. People listening to this podcast, right, comment on the podcast. leave a note saying that you're sickened by this.
And you demand an apology.
I will try to get Peter to do an apology video with his cat.
It's in your hands, listeners. It's in your hands. How many qualify? Like, if you get one comment asking for that, is that enough?
I probably need to be more than one.
Okay, all right. There you go. That's your challenge. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
silent under the dawn of that last great day.
I'm going to have to do this, aren't I?